Ryerson Theatre School brings you contemporary twists on classic stage works. The Three Birds is a modern take on Sophocles by Joanna Lawrence, one of the UK's most daring young playwrights. Fourth-year acting students and theatre production students bring The Three Birds to life under the direction of Ruth Maddock Jones. The Three Birds runs from now until November 13th at Ryerson's Abrams Studio Theatre, 46 Gerrard Street East. For ticket information, call the box office at 416-979-5118 or visit ryerson.ca/theater. And don't miss Metamorphoses, also running at the Abrams Studio Theatre until November 14th.
Do you like to sing? Are you a shower Pavarotti or a bathtub Celine? Join the Oakham House Choir. Live the dream of performing choral masterpieces with a professional orchestra. Rehearsals take place at Oakham House every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. starting September 8th. New members are invited to sign up before rehearsals from 6 to 6:45 p.m. Get your voice out of the shower and onto the stage with the Oakham House Choir. Want to know more? Contact Music Director Matthew Yaskevich at 416-578-2546 or email Yaskevich, J-A-S-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z at simpatico.ca. See you there.
The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.
CKLN's annual general meeting takes place on Sunday, November 20th.
Duff is the stuff. That's pretty cool.
Stay tuned. We'll have more later on in the show. Oh, yeah.
Hooray.
All right, we're back. Okay, I goofed up a little bit there.
Thank you for that disclaimer. It's not accurate. The content of the show expresses the views of a radio man.
Yes.
A fake radio man, and so it does express CKLN's reality as a medium. So what are they talking about? They're talking about management, about the bureaucracy, which is another medium. Does not express the views of the bureaucracy.
Yes. And the it expresses the views of a fake a person that is called a fake leftist by leftists who think that they're legitimate. Is called, what else am I called?
Fake capitalist.
Fake capitalist, yes. By those.
Fake Mike Dyer.
Right. It's very confusing. It's a very hard place to be, a radio man. Okay, you're on the air.
I think, well, I have a favorite.
Is that Mike Dyer?
Mike Dyer used to do. You got it.
I have a favorite.
I can't hear the phrase. What's the phrase?
I don't know. I wish I know that person will probably not phone in and actually reveal what that means, what the significance of it is, but it doesn't matter.
Well, I think they're pointing out that we're hogging the airways.
Oh, is that it?
We're just repeating ourselves.
Oh, that's true.
Especially me. I mean, I've been accused of that for 30 years.
Did I play the whole, I've lost track of what I've done here. Did I play the whole GOP trust ad about Obama? Hey, let's just play it again.
For 20 years, Barack Obama followed a preacher of hate and said nothing is right raged against our country.
Not God bless America, God damn America.
U.S. of KKKA.
He built his power base in Wright's church. Wright was his mentor, advisor, and close friend. For 20 years, Obama never complained until he ran for president. Barack Obama, too radical, too risky. The National Republican Trust PAC is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Listen to, you probably can't hear it, Bob, but Reverend Wright is just raving through that whole piece. Just in the background, just Reverend Wright going and going and going and going. It's like how, as if they had Hitler in the background or something.
Well, I was listening to WBAI, you know, CKLN's sister network.
Yes.
And Ron Daniels, black activist, politician, everything. He was praising Reverend Wright, because he was a liberationist theologist. Did you know that? Highly respected liberationist theologist. That's what he is, technically.
Yeah. And
then he went on about how Wright didn't understand anything about the world of politics and didn't know he shouldn't say the kind of things he did because he was upset that Obama dropped him. And they said he was forced to go sit off in the corner because he didn't understand politics. Now, that's interesting. He's a highly respected, literate theologian who doesn't understand radio, electric media. There's the naivety I have to repeat myself and complain about for 30 years.
So there's
Ron didn't fully get the point, but he just said the guy didn't understand politics. Can you believe that? How can a person not understand politics? On my level, yes, they don't. But on their level, Ron Daniels and Obama's level, this guy did not understand that politics was a media game and you don't say your opinion.
Who's Ron Daniels?
He's a very prominent black activist on the level of Jesse Jackson here in New York and all over the United States. And he has a radio show on WBAI, and I was checking out his show, his response. And that was one of the points he was making. A caller said Reverend Wright had a big ego. And Daniels says, no, he just didn't understand politics. He didn't know he was supposed to keep quiet and not embarrass Obama.
What's the hallmark of liberation theology?
Conspiracy angle, it's the Jesuits in South America are the ones. Jesuit liberation theology justified the Sandinistas and all the left movements in South America, Central America in the late 70s, early 80s, and then the Fourth Reich supported Nazi groups suppressed and killed the liberation theologists. It's the left wing of the Vatican.
And that's what Wright is involved with?
Yes, according to Ron Daniels. He's a well-respected scholar and theologian. You wouldn't know that through the media scape, right?
No.
That's the point here. The different media create different environments and different kind of issues. Joe the Plumber is a well-respected commentator now because he gets on the media and he talks the right pro-grammatical, anti-non-grammatical style.
Well, he's not well-respected.
That's the problem with you, Greg.
Yes.
On CKLN,
yes.
You do not have the proper tribal image in a tribal medium. You're seen as an isolated John McCain, a rugged individualist. You are important for staff meetings, for factional support, but once the media environment it takes over in the tribal mood, the emotional multitude that Obama represents, you're irrelevant, so as John McCain is.
Yeah, I did relate to that John McCain song that I played earlier. For those of you that didn't hear it, I guess I'll play it again.
Now, ma'am, I don't know.
Was nor ever will. No man ever was nor ever will be like the man called Hank McCain.
Okay, for the purposes of this, replace Hank McCain and any reference to McCain with Greg Duffel or just Duffel.
Or Daniel.
That's right. They can never lock. They can lock me up. They can keep me out. But I'll always be a duffel.
Wasn't your father like that? Wasn't he an alienated NDP person?
Who?
Your father. He was an alienated NDP.
Yes. Yeah.
Life had taught him long ago the simple fact he was on his own.
Well, I'm on my own now. Oh, you're here, Bob, of course, but you're discarnate.
Life had taught him not to count on anyone except himself alone.
Boy, it is a lonely life, let me tell you. It's very lonely. Oh.
That is so appropriate. That is you.
I'm alone here this morning. No one else. I'm quite thankful for that, actually.
You may be the last broadcaster in CKLM.
No one knows better than
Duffel. I care for number one.
Take and never give.
That's me. That's the fake leftist in me. And Duffel.
That when all is said and done, that's the only way to live.
Yep. That's the only way to live. Yeah.
No one knows better than
Duffel.
Just how angry you can be when they cage you in with law.
I'm beyond Bob, I'm beyond angry now.
No one knows better than McCain what it means to feel you're free when you know the world is yours.
That's right. I'm free.
That's a
Can
fake capitalist. You own a lot.
Yeah.
The world is yours. The world is your oyster.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, you know, the Bush family, it's been reported that George Bush, President Bush's mother, has been screaming at him, "You've ruined the family name." This has been going on for a couple of years. And that he attempted to kill his father attempted to kill him. But I keep thinking, isn't McCain a big name in Canada? Isn't that a company of chips or something?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, the you should know that, Bob. It's the McCain family. They make all kinds of potato chips and potato stuff, and they make desserts and things to kill you.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad
I didn't
food.
Read any of it, but that name is now forever mud or stupidity or Joe the Plumber level, you know? I mean, what do they think of that? Their name has been ruined.
I hope so. I mean, yes.
As a matter of fact, I think McCain relatives have donated to CKLN. Am I wrong?
I don't know that. Maybe. But
okay.
I do know that in the town in St. Andrews, the town of St. Andrews, New Brunswick, I have had cause to go there, and I know that they own property there. And there are two factions of the McCain family. There's one sort of what would apparently be a right-wing faction of the McCain family and sort of a left-wing faction of the McCain family, sort of a...
Oh, that would explain the donation to CKLN.
Maybe. That might explain it. So here is... where was I going to go here? We were going to go with John Voight. Oh, no. Here's what I wanted to do. We're talking about McCain. I played that Gaffney commercial, Frank Gaffney commercial, that was played on the day of the election, the anti-Obama commercial.
Has he done other commercials, or was that a special one with him?
That's the only one. I was so shocked to see him. Although, normally you see him on Wolf Blitzer's show or on CNN sometimes. You see him as a pundit.
Are you saying he looks like G. Gordon Liddy? That kind of bald head?
No, he's got hair around, and he's hairy, but the top of his head is bald.
Okay.
So, but he's very furry on his face. Furry Lind. And he always sets his head down, and his eyes, one eye is bigger than the other, and he looks he looks really serious when he's
Does
talking.
Does he have Sam Paco eyes with the lower part of the white show?
I'll have to look at it again, but I know what you're talking about. That shows that's the mark of a criminal, isn't it?
Yeah, a psychopath.
Yeah. He might be trying to get that psychopathic look because he knows that it puts fear into people's hearts.
I think Hillary Clinton has that. I haven't seen her in a long time, but I think she has Sam Paco bulging eyes.
I know who does. Zalmay Khalilzad, the ambassador to... Is he the UN ambassador now? The American UN ambassador? And is he Pakistani? But Zalmay Khalilzad has that in... He's got that whole dropped eyeball off the top of his lid with a whole bunch of white underneath it.
You know, Greg, I thought of a pattern. When I bike here in Maui at night, where I am, there's lots of deer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go along this dark path, they rush out in front of me and go back into the woods. But if I shine my bike light on them, they freeze. And last night, I froze 10 deer. If you shine a light on them, that is what the media did to people in the 1970s. It froze people. It's now loosened up, so people are quite argumentative. It's become a hot medium. Anyways, the deer in the headlights syndrome is not applicable to the average citizen now, and that's why Sarah Palin became a candidate. She could go into that convention and just be very strong and opinionated.
Well, there's no argumentative business going on here because no one's phoning into the show. And now that could be that I haven't given the number. I've been remiss.
I think it's due to me. I think I kind of ruined the show the way it used to be.
Yeah.
But we are moving into a new era, and so I'll stand by my style.
Well, 416-595-1655 if you want to show that Bob is wrong about that, or you have something to say. I mean, there's no point in phoning if you have nothing to say. So, or you might be just happy listening to what's going on. Here's Let Freedom Ring. I looked up their website, and they had lots and lots and lots of commercials, but I never saw any of them on the air except the Gaffney one. They thought that was their prime commercial. But here's another one. It's about John McCain.
Senator McCain, history has shown us your economic plans will work.
When Ronald Reagan took office, the economy was far worse than it is today.
You understand that Reagan's plan worked. Senator Obama does not.
Ronald Reagan cut marginal tax rates, dividend, and capital gains taxes. Senator Obama will raise them.
Ronald Reagan cut taxes on small businesses. Senator Obama will raise them.
Ronald Reagan cut spending and reduced the size of the federal government. Senator Obama plans to increase spending by nearly $1 trillion. So who's right?
During Reagan's 8 years, the gross domestic product nearly doubled. The net worth of the middle-class household again nearly doubled, and 14 million new jobs were created.
Senator McCain, we are hopeful.
Because your economic policies are the policies of Ronald Reagan.
As a nation in crisis, we'd be fools not to embrace your ideas.
What happens when we pick the alternative? Please, America, let's never find out.
Never find out.
By Let Freedom Ring, which is responsible for the content of this ad.
So it's neverfindout.org. In other words, we never want to find out if we elect a black man as president of the United States or someone saying the things that Obama says. We never want to find that out. Now, here's another one, a minute-long commercial about McCain's military service. They got to drill that home again. And listen to the lies in this one.
Senator McCain, we don't hear much about your service to our country.
He mentioned it every speech that he did. And if he didn't mention it, Sarah Palin did.
It's all he's known for.
And Obama did it all the time. He said, we respect Senator McCain's service to his country.
They don't talk about it very often.
The population is not fooled by that advertising anymore. They've been sophisticated by YouTube and evolved in technical media sophistication. And that advertising is a joke.
Yeah, I won't even play it. It's silly. Here's another one, though, that Obama's on the left.
Senator Obama, I'm standing where you stand.
He's standing on the left side of the screen.
Way to the left. Your 2007 voting record made you the most liberal member of the U.S. Senate.
So, the usual kind of stuff. So,
the point is, Greg, you realize the paranoia that the election has created in at least the red states. The gun sales are going up. They're preparing for civil war. I've read columns on their websites.
Well, the official explanation the media gives so everybody doesn't freak out is that the reason that people are going out and getting guns is that gun people think that Obama will shut down the right to own guns. So yes. It's now a mad dash to go and get them. But, yes, you could see it that everybody's going, okay, I didn't have a gun before, or I only had one. Now I'm going to get more because of those fill-in-the-blanks that are now in power. You're on the air.
Yeah, the United Nations is going to come in and take over.
Right, you're on the air.
I hope you can get to your item about Rahm Emanuel.
I'm going to do it right now.
Good. This is the first indication of what Obama's about.
I'm going to get to it right now.
Okay,
thanks. Thanks to for prompting me. So Obama has his first appointment that he makes is Rahm Emanuel. Now, I want to tell you the most important thing about Rahm Emanuel. It's very, very urgent that you listen to this and accept this and know this because it's going to run as a current through Obama's entire presidency. It is this. Rahm Emanuel is the first cousin of Howard Stern Show writer Benji Bronk. All right? Bronk. Now, are you familiar, Bob, with Benji Bronk?
No, I'm sorry, I'm not.
I'm familiar with Benji Bronk. I know exactly who Benji Bronk is. And that is scary. It's scary that this Rahm Emanuel is connected with the legendary and infamous Benji Bronk. And not only that, Howard Stern, you're on the air.
Yeah, Greg, just wanted to say that I heard your Obama impersonation about a minute ago, and it's bang on.
Like, oh, come on.
I got nothing else.
Come on, really?
Well, the way he pauses in his speech and then the last few words that he says in any sentence, he always drops his tone of voice. Is like almost like an anticlimax. Like he'll soar up in the middle of his speech, and then towards the end he'll pause, and the last two or three words are really almost understated.
Well, thank you. I was practicing. When I was watching him, I was going, I'm going to get my young girls a puppy.
Yeah. I thought it was just me that noticed that because I've been trying to work on what it is about him that is unique and. Apparently, you see it as well.
Well, we had a guy on the show a few weeks ago. I don't know whether you remember, a guy named Rick from Hamilton. And he did a bang-on Obama. And he's going to be useful on to the show if he will, if he's listening, if he wants to phone in occasionally as Obama. I'd be very grateful to him. But I'm going to try and work on my Obama over time. Thank you for lauding me on that. I thought you were kidding. I thought you were saying, oh, yeah, it was a really good impersonation. It was terrible. But thank you. Thank you.
It was better than I thought it would be.
Okay, good. Okay, bye.
Hey, Greg, that seems this style of speaking may be emblematic of his administration, you know, high-pitched, inspirational, and then falls flat.
Yeah. So here's Rahm Emanuel. Okay, so the whole thing about the Howard Stern show, that is true. Benji Bronk, if any of you know the large Benji Bronk guy, who's
why
a writer.
Why is that scary?
I don't know. I'm being satirical. Okay. Emanuel's father is the Jerusalem-born Benjamin M. Emanuel. Is a pediatrician and former member of the paramilitary Irgun, which operated from 1931 to 1948 during the British Mandate of Palestine before the founding of Israel. So he was fighting the British army, I suppose, supposedly.
Yeah, with Nazi help.
Right. Emanuel was a civilian volunteer in the Israel Defense Forces during the 1991 Persian Gulf War, repairing truck brakes in one of Israel's northern bases. Emanuel's wife, Amy Rule, a graduate of the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, converted to Judaism shortly before her wedding. They are members of Ansh Shalom B'nai Israel. And Israel is his Emanuel's middle name, by the way. It's a modern Orthodox congregation in Chicago, and they have three children. Emanuel is a close friend of fellow Chicagoan David Axelrod, chief strategist for the 2008 Barack Obama presidential campaign. Axelrod signed the ketubah, a Jewish marriage contract, at Emanuel's wedding, an honor that goes to a family friend or distant relative. His rabbi says that it's a very involved Jewish family, and Emanuel is said to have, quote, mailed a rotten fish to a former co-worker after the two parted ways. And on the night after the 1996 election, Emanuel was so angry at the president's enemies, Clinton's enemies, that he stood up at a celebratory dinner with colleagues from the campaign, grabbed a steak knife, and began rattling off a list of betrayers, shouting, dead, 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 and plunging the knife.
Into the table after every name.
After every name. His take no prisoners attitude earned him the nickname Rambo. I was thinking about that one earlier before I even read this one. People who worked with Emanuel at the time insist that once
the once charging staffer is mellowed
out. Now, it's open secrets.
I can read Wiki too, Greg.
I know.
Just quoting Wikipedia.
Okay, well, where else am I going to get the stuff? He was the top House recipient.
Let's go to May Pelfo or Dr. Peter.
Well, we will get to that. Just a moment. We had a request from the audience. I'm turning you off for a moment. Open Secrets reports that Rahm Emanuel was the top House recipient in the 2008 election cycle of contributions from hedge funds, private equity firms, and the largest securities investment industries. During his original 2002 campaign, because he's only been there for a few years, Emanuel indicated his support of President Bush position on Iraq. But he seems to be involved with health care, too. He has a 100% pro-choice voting record. He's generally liberal on social issues, and he's considered a centrist. Now, according to The Nation, Emanuel is seen as a strong Israel partisan. And that doesn't come as any surprise, really, because Obama is made statements at various times during his campaign, especially when he would speak before AIPAC, the America-Israel group, which I always forget what the PAC stands for. But the, Obama's just as pro-Israel as an anti-Palestinian as Hillary Clinton. It was a race to see who would be more pro-Israel. So there are various people think different things about him. But many Arabs and Palestinians are angry over Obama's appointment of Emanuel, especially after his father, Benjamin Emanuel, was interviewed by the Hebrew Daily in an article entitled, "Our Man in the White House." He stated, "Obviously he will influence the president to be pro-Israel. Why shouldn't he do that? What is he, an Arab? He's not going to clean the floor of the White House." Now, what was interesting about when I saw Emanuel meeting reporters for the first time after he'd been appointed, he said that his parents would be proud, and that he had somehow sacrificed his future to be a leader to support Barack Obama, which I thought was very interesting. And I wondered, well, why would he have given up his chance at higher office, he said. And, of course, he's already, I think, a congressman, or I'm not sure what he is, actually. I never get it figured out what's a congressman and a senator and what the difference is. But
he's a Democratic member of the House of Representatives.
And what is that? Is that a congressman?
That's the lower people. That's the lower class. The Senate is the higher class.
Oh, all right. Good news. Good news, everybody. The only good news to come out of this election, as far as I'm concerned, really good news, is Dennis Kucinich is back as congressman in that lower house in Ohio. So congratulations to the great Dennis Kucinich. My hero is back in power there in Ohio, where he should be, and doing good work and impeaching the president, or trying to. Maybe he'll go at Obama, too, when it becomes necessary, as it probably will. So Rahm Emanuel was immediately hired, and he's all tied in with Israel. And, of course, Obama says he's going to expand the war in Afghanistan. So get ready, everybody, for more of the same. It's inevitable.
Right. Now, what's striking about Emanuel, he's only 50 years old. He's younger than you, Greg.
Yeah.
Born 1959.
Yeah, why am I not the chief of staff of the White House? What, flies on me? Come on.
Right, and it would be interesting if only Skolnick was still alive, because he'd have the dirt on all this Chicago tribal grouping.
I was going to talk about John Voight just briefly.
What about Skolnick?
No, he's dead. but he was a radio man. In the 1970s, during the Nixon administration, Voight was against the Vietnam War, and that ties in with, and he said that but he's changed now, because he said that he was influenced by Marxist propaganda back in the day. And here's Voight talking about Frank Gaffney. We were talking about Frank Gaffney earlier. I should have segued into that while we were talking about him. But here's Frank Gaffney, neoconservative, and it's John Voight. You can go and look on this on YouTube. It's Gaffney and John Voight together. John Voight is out doing promotion for National Treasure, the movie. And here's what Voight had to say about Frank Gaffney and what Frank Gaffney has to say about John Voight.
In the history of the world, there are a few heroes, real heroes, and this man is prominent among them. And I'm very proud to know him. Most seriously, he is a national treasure.
There are a few people who are...
So he says that Frank Gaffney is a national treasure.
More importantly, he's a skill sets.
Here's Gaffney talking about Voight. It's hard to hear this stuff.
But this man, not only to entertain, and to engage, and to divert the nuclear people through his creative genius on film, but to inform them, to educate knowing me, and encourage them to action in his day-to-day life. And for that, I will say thank you.
Thank you. You can cut that.
Mr. Gaffney, a serious national treasure, we must protect him.
You're a serious national treasure, Mr. Gaffney. You're on the air.
Yeah, I missed the part about Emanuel, but you didn't read the comment about the quote by his father, did you?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, where?
Yeah, what is he going to sweep the floors?
Right, okay, I missed that. Sorry. Okay.
Okay. Bye. Hey, you asked for it, and then
you
missed it.
Yeah, I had to leave. I got the first, a few minutes out.
Oh, okay.
Something came up.
Oh, too bad.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. So there we have it, John Voight. Now we're going to get to something that is related to Bob. And it's something that Bob helped to bring to Canada through CKLN, and that's where I first heard it. And as I said, we're heading up to the 20th anniversary of this broadcast. 30th. I keep saying 20th. 30th. 30th anniversary of this broadcast. And the man in question is Dr. Beter, Dr. Peter Beter. And you might have heard me talk about him before, but we're going to get really involved with Dr. Beter. And just a little bit about him. He was born in 1921. He died in 1987. And he was an American attorney. And he ran for governor in 1968 for the Republican Party, although he was formerly a Democrat. And he was involved with John Kennedy. He was hired by John Kennedy to be involved in the Export-Import Bank of the United States. He was the general counsel for that organization under Kennedy, John Kennedy. So he's most well known for doing audio tapes that he distributed. And his basic theory was that the world was controlled by three factions: the Rockefeller family, the Bolshevik Zionist Axis, and the Kremlin. And the although he mainly says the word Bolshevik, so according to this article, the Zionist is implied with the Bolshevik.
Yes, and the Kremlin would be the native Christian Russians.
So, and Dr. Beter was involved with gold and publicly stated that most of the gold in Fort Knox was had been sold to European interests. So he released 80 audio newsletter tapes between 1975 and 1982, and he said that Kennedy was killed by Johnson, and that, well, we'll hear Patty Hearst was kidnapped by the Central Intelligence Agency, and various other things. And he said that, we'll hear later, that General George Scratchley Brown was killed because he simply knew too much. And he talked about the dangers and hazards of the back then secret particle beam weaponry, and he was very informative in many ways. But in 1979, specifically on May 28th, I believe, yes, May 28th, 1979, he made what would become his most famous audio tape. That was audio tape number 46. And it's that audio tape that we are going to go over today on the program. And so to get you involved with this and to get you to get a little taste of what Dr. Beter was all about, here he is introing audio letter number 46.
Hello, my friends. This is Dr. Beter in Washington. Today is May 28, 1979, and this is my audio letter number 46.
And before we go to that, actually, we have a phone call. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Greg.
Yes.
And Bob.
Hi. Hi there.
I was going to say that it's between this mutual admiration society between Voight and Gaffney, I understand completely why Angelina is a Council on Foreign Relations member at this point in time.
Is she really?
Oh, yes, yeah, she has been for quite a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's with the CFR. So anybody that comes up who's a big-name celebrity, they try to get them into that right away so that they can be a part of the agenda.
Hmm.
Also, when Obama was first talking, when he was running first a couple of years ago, he said he was going to do away with these huge lobbies that were controlling America. And, of course, I think he mentioned AIPAC a couple of times back then, or at least it sounded like it back then. And, of course, that would have sent terrible shudders through everybody's anybody that's involved with that group. And so they had to do everything to make sure that that's not going to happen. So here we have him in office now. He's going to be controlled by AIPAC from what we can see now. So the very thing he's setting out to do, now they are stopping that. So here we have a complete reversal of what he was going to do. I can only hope it's a matter of keeping your enemies close to you so that when you try to do something, you can at least understand where they're coming from while you're trying to do it. If that's not the case, then it's another sellout to AIPAC, another sellout, and the Israeli intelligence, which they use all the time to promote more wars using their lies, will create a whole situation of war after war after war after war, because their intelligence is nothing but propaganda and a war economy mission to keep Israel going because it is a false state.
Well, let me get to Dr. Beter here because there's some material on that. Thanks a lot for your call.
Okay.
And actually, I just wanted to say that we talked last week with that caller about a device, and I do have information on that device. I said that I could never find anything. I do have that, but that will have to wait probably for another week. Here, getting back to Dr. Beter, here is Dr. Beter in audio letter 46, a real watershed moment for Dr. Beter. Here he is talking about the murder of Nelson Rockefeller, the Bolshevik coup d'etat.
It began 4 months ago with the murder of Nelson Rockefeller. Now, important and famous people are disappearing. Nelson Rockefeller's murder has been followed by convulsions in the rulership of America. And yet, there's no hint to the public about what is taking place. The Rockefeller murder in January signaled the beginning of an all-out Bolshevik coup d'etat here in America. A secret Bolshevik purge of the Rockefellers was underway, bloody but hidden from public view.
When Dr. Beter used to talk about a Bolshevik coup, I'd always be going, "Oh, that's good." I know, but Dr. Beter was upset about it, and I didn't mind him being upset about it, and I didn't mind hearing about it. It's just I was always fairly enthusiastic about the Bolshevik, the coup d'etat. But anyway, here more of Dr. Beter.
But last month, I revealed that a secret intelligence war between doubles had erupted for control of the United States government.
So he brings up the idea of doubles. Now, normally when we think of doubles, we think of human beings that have either been altered to look like a leader, usually, of a country, or someone who has who bears resemblance to a particular leader, a human being who looks very much like a doppelganger, shall we say. Yeah, let's carry on with Dr. Beter.
When I recorded audio letter 45 last month, the situation was confusing, and my information was still fragmentary. But I told you what I could, and now I can tell you more.
Are you ready? This is really big, everybody.
The war of doubles involves not only the Bolsheviks, but the clandestine services of Russia, Great Britain, and Israel. But the basic battle lines are being drawn between Russia and the Bolsheviks. As of now, the Russians appear to be gradually gaining the upper hand.
Uh-oh.
Thanks to their use of an astonishing new intelligence weapon.
What could this weapon be? What could it be? He's teasing us. Here it is. Here's the answer. What is that weapon?
What I am about to reveal, I am revealing primarily for history.
Uh-huh.
I know, even before I reveal it, that some of my listeners will desert me after they hear it.
Not me, Dr. Beter. I'm going to listen forever. Well, as long as you kept doing them.
Saying,
not me either.
It just cannot be. But, my friends, I also know that the events in the days ahead will be impossible to understand without knowing this secret. So I do not ask that you believe it simply because I say it. What I do ask, and I ask it for your own good,
all right,
is that you keep an open mind.
Okay, Cookie. Dr. Beter, go
listen
ahead.
Listen and hear what I must now reveal.
All right, all right, all right.
Then watch events themselves.
Okay, okay.
In Russia as well as in the West,
yes,
research has been underway for many years,
mm-hmm,
in biological synthesis. That is, artificial life forms.
Uh-huh.
And according to high intelligence, a stunning breakthrough took place in Russia some years ago. The Russians refer to this breakthrough as a providential discovery, something they learned almost by accident. They discovered the key to creating what are known as organic robotoids. An organic robotoid is an artificial robot-like creature. It looks and acts exactly like a human being, and yet it is not human. A robotoid is alive in the biological sense, but it is an artificial life form. Robotoids respond to conventional routine medical tests in the same way as humans do. They eat, they drink, they breathe, they bleed if cut, and they can be killed.
That's good. They can be killed.
Robotoids can also think, but they think only in the sense that a computer thinks. Like any other computer, the brain of a robotoid has to be programmed for each assignment it is given. But unlike many electronic computers, the biological computer brain of a robotoid possesses an enormous memory. As a result, robotoids can be programmed to communicate and think in such complex patterns that they act human. Organic robotoids are remarkable creatures, but they have many drawbacks. They don't grow or reproduce, but must be manufactured one by one in the desired form.
Custom-made. Custom-made robotoids.
They also have a very limited lifespan, measured in months or even weeks, depending upon how they are utilized. This is due to the fact that their metabolism, while it resembles that of humans, is very inefficient. A robotoid can be manufactured on very short notice, a matter of hours. But after a few weeks or months, it suddenly begins to degenerate physically and mentally.
This is amazing technology nonetheless, that it lasts for weeks, even months maybe, before it degenerates. It's an incredible feat when you consider 30 years ago that there were robotoids.
When that takes place, the robotoid has to be removed from service and disposed of. To extend its useful life as much as possible, a robotoid is customarily cooled down to slow its metabolism between assignments.
That's why there's so much air conditioning in our society, because by now there must be lots and lots of robotoids.
Organic robotoids are extremely expensive, troublesome creatures to produce and utilize.
They're troublesome creatures, Bob. Are you listening?
Yes. Remember, I actually met a couple.
You've met a couple of robotoids.
Well, I was working with Beter back then, and I saw the robotoids he was talking about.
Robotoid capabilities do not exceed those of human beings. All they can really do is simulate human beings. But, my friends, for intelligence
purposes... He's very McCain-like there, isn't he? Well, my friends...
...purposes, that's all they have to do. To produce an organic robotoid, it is necessary to have a pattern to go by. The pattern required is that of genetic coding, taken from a few cells from the body of a human being. In this respect, the Russian technique sounds like cloning, but the technique itself is totally...
I bet our audience out there was saying, wait a minute, this is just a clone. He's just talking about cloning, but no. It's a totally different type of technology, this organic robotoid.
...totally unrelated to genuine cloning. A robotoid is produced within a matter of hours, and it simulates the human donor at his current age. Like any man-made copy of anything, a robotoid is never a perfect copy of the human that is to be simulated. There's always small discrepancies in appearance and behavior, but these are seldom great enough to arouse any suspicion.
All right, it's one thing to say that there might be these organic robotoids out there, that the Russians have created this technology. But Dr. Beter goes further than this in the amazing audio letter number 46 from May 28th, 1978. Let's continue with Dr. Beter.
Robotoid technology in the United States is far behind that of Russia.
We've got a robotoid gap. They're way ahead of us. They were way ahead of us back then, those communists, in robotoid technology.
The American capability in robotoids is not even close to being operational.
Oh, my heavens.
Whereas the Russians are deploying them right now. But there has been at least one attempt to create an organic robotoid for public use in the United States. And I'm referring to the final fate of the late General George S. Brown.
George Scratchley Brown. Now, who was George Scratchley Brown, you might ask, if you can even say that name?
I can tell you, he was the one man in the Pentagon who would listen to Beter.
He commented, evidently, on two occasions. This is General Brown. He died in 1978, because this is basically what Dr. Beter is getting to. He said that to a university audience and to a French reporter in 1976 that Israel was becoming a burden to the Pentagon and believed that the reason for continual military aid was due to Israeli sympathizers having control over America's newspapers and elected officials. Although he was reprimanded by President Ford about these comments and forced or asked to apologize and then pressured to resign his post, Brown finished out his term under President Carter. Brown also predicted that Iran would soon become an important military ally, military power in the Middle East. So here is the story of the death of General George Scratchley Brown, according to the great Dr. Peter Beter.
On July 10, 1977, General Brown was taken to CIA headquarters near Washington, D.C. in Virginia. There, he was taken to one of the many secret rooms designed into the CIA building by Nelson Rockefeller.
Why has nobody made a movie of this, Bob?
Well, you got They Live. There's all kinds of movies.
Yeah, but a movie just taking what Dr. Beter...
In the 80s?
Why don't you just take what Dr. Beter said and make a movie of it? It'd be fantastic. Anyway, I'll carry on.
Literally, the difference between cloning and organic robotoids. Make a movie about that.
No, about all these people. George Scratchley Brown, Nelson Rockefeller, all of them. They made a movie about W.
The room was a laboratory, and the attempt was made to create a robotoid replacement for General Brown. The techniques employed were far more crude than those used in the Russian process, since the CIA process required General Brown to be on the scene. The attempt ended in complete failure. A crude facsimile of General Brown was generated, but it refused to come to life. Even so, General Brown could not be allowed to live,
nope.
Because now he knew too much.
He knew.
And so on the evening of July 10, 1977, General George S. Brown, the last great patriot in the United States government, was murdered. A normal human double was found for General Brown,
uh-huh.
Since a robotoid attempt had failed.
They had one waiting in the wings.
This was the man who testified in the role of General Brown at the congressional hearings on the Panama Canal Treaty, September 27, 1977.
So here's more about the war of the doubles.
It is a standing rule that doubles for important people never live long. And so at about 7:30 that evening, General Brown's double was shot to death in the back of the neck. Last month, I revealed that an intelligence war of doubles had erupted in the United States. President Carter, Vice President Mondale, and their wives had fallen victim to this war of doubles as their Easter breaks away from Washington were ending. Now I'm sorry to report that Amy Carter, Billy Carter, Lillian Carter, and Hugh Carter all died soon after Jimmy and Rosalind did.
So this is the startling news. This is back in 1979. This is 30 years ago. Jimmy Carter, his wife, his daughter, his mother, who's now dead, I would imagine, and other people in the Carter, they're all dead. They were all dead in 1979, according to Dr. Beter. Let me carry on. This is a bombshell. It's one thing. I don't know what you're thinking out there. First of all, you've heard they're organic robotoids. I'm sure you could accept that. Then he tells you something about the technology. Then he tells you about George Scratchley Brown, that they tried to make him into an organic robotoid and it failed. And you went, well, okay, because I don't really know George Scratchley Brown. But now he's saying that Jimmy Carter, who we see on television often, is really dead. So what do you think he is? Well, if it wasn't so obvious, here's more of Dr. Beter.
All of them, including Amy, have been replaced by doubles. But instead of the Bolshevik doubles, who had been waiting in the wings, those we are seeing are Russian organic robotoids. The voice of the Jimmy Carter double, which was reproduced last month in audio letter 45, is the voice of a robotoid. That robotoid was the one who was dazzling everyone with his vigorous new image. Only a few months ago, Carter had been limping around with what we were told were severe hemorrhoids. But now, out of the blue, here was a Carter who was a powerhouse, hiking, fishing, and jogging 10 miles a day. He also looked and sounded younger.
I met Jimmy Carter Robotoid at the Eaton Center a few years ago, and I bought that fishing book of his and got him to sign it. I was within just an arm's length of a former president of the United States, and what I now know, and knew then, actually, I should have thought about it, that he was a Robotoid. Oh, you're on the air, by the way.
Oh, hi, Greg. It's Dave.
Hey, Dave, too.
Do you think the organic Robotoids are healthier than the regular ones?
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Yeah, I mean the ones that are done made using
pesticides
and so on. I hadn't thought about that, but that's an interesting idea, Dave, too. Thank you for that. So here's more with Dr. Beter.
Than before. That was the first Robotoid double for Carter,
uh-huh.
Which I referred to last month as Carter number 2. By the time
now, it's going to be hard to keep up with this because now there's Carter number 2 because that's an organic robot.
It's going to have a new meaning, Dave number 2, Dave 3, Dave 4.
That's right.
By the time I recorded audio letter 45, there was also another Carter Robotoid making the rounds. This one, Jimmy Carter number 3, was the one that attended the Holocaust observances in the Capitol building here in Washington. By contrast with Carter number 2, number 3 looks noticeably older and more haggard. As I mentioned earlier...
Remember you said earlier, Bob, that you met me, you saw me, and I looked more haggard when you saw me than I had? That was my Robotoid.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
Robotoids are very good copies, but they are not perfect. No two look exactly alike.
No.
Last month, I mentioned...
Do you know what happened around this time? Carter changed the way he parted his hair. Do you remember that, Bob?
Exactly. Yes, and he collapsed while jogging.
Because he was a Robotoid.
And a rabbit attacked him.
A rabbit attacked him?
Yeah,
Yeah, that's later. You'll hear this.
Oh.
Carter, we're spending a great deal of time at the Russian embassy here in Washington instead of at the White House.
His wife, he and his wife are spending time at the Russian embassy.
I'd like to tell you why. Robotoids are programmed at the embassy for each assignment. Between assignments, they simply rest there in a state of reduced metabolism. Meanwhile, the big oil companies of the now headless Rockefeller...
Okay, I'll stop this about the oil companies. I'll play that in another week.
As there begin to be more and more Russian robotoids in key positions of the United States government, there will be more and more surprises.
Oh.
One key public personality I would urge...
Gee, Dr. Peter, keep it down. This is a big surprise enough that they're just robotoids, let alone that everybody in the government's a robotoid.
I need you to watch very carefully now is Walter Cronkite.
Oh,
in
no.
His television broadcast on CBS
no.
Evening News.
Not Walter Cronkite, please. No wonder these people are still alive, right? They're just being robotoided all the time. They're dying constantly, but they died. Their real Jimmy Carter and the real Walter Cronkite died ages ago. We're wondering, how are they living so long? And Jimmy Carter's looking pretty good. He's looking robust. He's out building homes. What we did...
I can explain that later when you finish.
During this month of May, he left on what was said to be a vacation. Today, May 28th, he resumed broadcasting. If you are accustomed to watching the Cronkite news program, I suggest that you watch carefully now. Look for a change in the slant given the news. It will be subtle, but it will be there. If you are serious about it, you might tape the shows every evening for a week, then play them all back one after another sometime the following weekend. That way, you can compress a week into 2 hours or so, not counting commercials, and better tell what the drift is. Otherwise, the most important single personality to watch is the one labeled Jimmy Carter. Periodically, there will be small changes in his appearance and behavior as one robotoid wears out and is replaced by another. And by listening to the Carter robotoids, you can get some hints about what the Kremlin is up to. The invasion of the Russian robotoids goes far beyond the mere removal of troublesome people from official positions. The robotoids assume the identity and authority of those whom they replace. As a result, they can carry out official acts, give orders, and sign agreements. A prime example is to take place next month in Vienna, Austria, on June 15th. To the world, it will appear that the United States, in the person of President Carter, will be signing the SALT II treaty with Russia, in the person of President Brezhnev. But the signatories will actually be a robotoid that looks like Carter and a human double who looks like Brezhnev. Over a year ago in Audio Letter 33, I reported the January 1978 death of the real Brezhnev and his replacement with Brezhnev number 2.
They got robotoids over there, too. Everybody's a robotoid.
The SALT II treaty will actually involve Russia signing with itself through puppet personality. The Rockefeller robotoid was to return to Jerusalem that day also and put in it.
Yeah, we've lost track of the Rockefeller robotoid. We're so busy with Jimmy Carter robotoid numbers 2 and 3, we lost track of Nelson Rockefeller robotoid.
Appearance along with Paisley. In addition, it was decided that Jimmy Carter number 2 should visit Jerusalem in a quick secret trip by Cosmosphere transport.
Oh.
David Rockefeller number 2 was then dispatched to Washington.
Cosmosphere, what is that? Is that some
Russian advanced technology?
With instructions for Jimmy Carter number 2. By the evening of April 26, Carter number 2 was at the Israeli intelligence station outside Jerusalem. At the same time, Carter number 3 was keeping up appearances here. Rockefeller number 2 was seen at the World Trade Center in New York, but left that night for Moscow and then Jerusalem. While Jimmy Carter number 3 was appearing at the Holocaust ceremony in Washington, Carter number 2 was in Moscow, having already been to Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Paisley and Rockefeller number 2 were in Jerusalem. The 7th of April, Rockefeller number 2 began encountering questions and problems, which he was not programmed to handle.
Oh my gosh.
So obeying standing instructions for such an event, he departed from Moscow for further programming. On the 28th, he went to the Russian embassy in Washington. That night, he returned to Jerusalem. For further impact on the Israelis, the Carter number 3 robotoid had been dispatched to Jerusalem, along with Rosalind number 2. Paisley had remained in Jerusalem all 3 days. Meanwhile, here in the United States, Carter number 2 and another new robotoid, Rosalind number 3, were on duty. On April 29, Paisley left for Leningrad, and the robotoids left for Washington.
I think the only one here that isn't a robotoid is this guy John Paisley.
The first robotoid shuttle to the Middle East was...
He's a robotoid broker.
Ended.
John Paisley was a major enemy of Mae Brussel.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I didn't know that name.
...days in total secrecy. That, my friends, is exactly what Russia has been doing now for nearly 3 years. Underwater missiles, charged particle beam weapons, killer satellites, cosmospheres, and the moon bases. And now, organic robotoids.
If that weren't bad enough, if all those things weren't bad enough, particle beam weapons, the moon stuff, everything. No, but now the Russians are doing organic robotoids. You're on the air.
What about the blip verb? The Max head, the case. Isn't that on your shistoscope?
The shistoscope?
Well, express caller. Well, express. Greg, can I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
You have to realize, this is like Dr. Beter, highly respected Washington lawyer, in Who's Who in America. This is not some fringe guy up in New Jersey. This is a guy on the level of Senator Biden. It's like Senator Biden drops out, you know, halfway through the Obama term and starts putting out tapes. That's what Beter was. You have to realize how important Beter was.
Yeah, he worked for Kennedy.
Right.
And Export-Import Bank.
Export-Import Bank for the Japanese, which is another story we do next week. We're running out of time. Are we going over today?
I have no idea. I haven't seen anybody show up yet, so.
Oh, okay. Maybe we got lots of time. But I just want to say that what were you saying?
No, I don't know. But we're going to take another call. You're on the air.
Yeah, which Dr. Beter are you listening to, 1, 2, or 3?
I'm not sure. It's unclear. We don't know whether he was an organic robotoid.
Exactly.
Well, you do know because I knew Beter, and I worked with him.
He wasn't an organic robotoid?
No.
Well, how could
Beter
you tell?
Died in 1987, March 14th, in the middle of a gold deal with Buckingham Palace that I was part of. And you can actually hear a tape of it, and you've heard it, Greg. You could play it.
I have actually. I've actually heard the tape.
When
it was broadcast.
Back.
I have actually heard this tape. It's true.
Phone calls between me and Dr. Beter.
It's true. They were played on CKLN 20 years ago.
Oh.
A tape of Bob actually talking with Dr. Beter about gold.
Gold?
Yeah. Beter was very into gold, and he was explaining how to do a deal. Beter really...
With Buckingham Palace.
Beter was the real... I mean, Bob... This isn't a lie that Bob is putting forth here. Dr. Beter existed, and Dr. Beter really put out these tapes. And Dr. Beter, as he said, whether you believe the story of the organic robotoids, Dr. Beter actually had a high place in society.
Yeah, and here he is talking about these people. Imagine you, Greg, getting on, or Peter Mansbridge, and saying that Chrétien was a robotoid... He'd be put in court immediately. Beter was not touched.
It's astounding. Astounding.
Yeah. Well, he was an American, was he?
Yeah.
David Rockefeller was forced to comment on Beter's, and he says, well, sounds like science fiction. But he didn't go after Beter. I mean, that's in a litigious society. You nail somebody, and they nobody touched Beter.
Well, I still don't know what 1, 2, or 3.
I saw an organic robotoid. Because I was around him. Now, here's the point. Jimmy Carter's not an organic robotoid anymore. They were only used in this, like, two-year period, Greg, 79 to 81.
Well, who?
They were so bulky. And also, when Reagan came in and people got mesmerized by the spectacle of an actor, which is like a double,
right?
The whole media thing hypnotized people, and people were indifferent to who anybody was in actual fact, so the robotoid method became false or became obsolete. Follow that, Greg?
Yeah. But what is what are we seeing now? Who is Jimmy Carter? Is he just a double?
Yes, these are doubles, and he's not a robotoid.
He's not a robotoid.
No, the robotoids are only happening in that 2-3 year period, 79 to 82.
Caller, had you ever heard of the organic robotoids?
Never.
Yeah, isn't this fascinating?
It's hilarious.
I'm glad you enjoy it so much. Well, we are going to be we have to leave Dr. Beter now.
Oh,
and because we're now going to the we're going to transitioning to the next program. I'm going to play the outro of the show. There it is. The familiar tone to the show. Thank you, everybody.
I want
want to thank you, Greg, for making this tribute to Beater. Maybe we can continue.
I think there's plenty more to go of amazing revelations of Dr. Beater and trying to keep up with Jimmy Carter number 2, Jimmy Carter number 3, and Jimmy Carter number 4. He shows up.
You know, Bob Marshall was fired because he played a Dr. Beater tape.
Yes, Adam Vaughn, the counselor who has been elected, actually took Bob off the air for playing Dr. Beater. It's amazing. So, that is the end of the program. Thank you very much for being with us today. I'm Greg Duffel. You can contact us at internationalconnection@rogers.com with your comments about the program. We appreciate all of your comments, suggestions, and other complaints, warnings. And if you have a sighting of a Robotoid anywhere, please, please do write us. We're the official Robotoid radio program in Toronto. And I'm going to take one more call. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Greg. Yeah. I got to go now. I got to go beat my Peter.
All right. Very good. That many jokes were made. Well, I'm going to sign off now, and I'll ask Rebecca, have you got something to play? Have you got something to go? You're going to put something up? We don't have the amazing technology that we had before. We're going to do a hard break and a cut. Actually, you know what I'd like to play before you go? I'm going to play something I didn't play earlier. We had so many breaks. I'm not used to them. I have to play this at the end of our program. It's very important. Something terrible could happen if it wasn't played. And then we'll play something else, and then Rebecca will get her show up and running, and we'll... Okay, that's it, everybody. I'm Greg Duffel. Goodbye.
The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated.